I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
For me, the way I work is I want that. I want them to have the mentality that Eddie's going to be that guy. But we're gonna always, you know, we're getting to that point right now where you're getting towards the end of the training camps where there's going to be transactions for a lot of different teams at a lot of different positions. So if we feel like something's best for the Bears, that's what we'll do. So I don't want to, it's somewhat open-ended answer, but at the same point in time, you know, we appreciate and we like and we trust with where Eddie's at right now, but we got to continue to, you know, give him opportunities to really build that trust even more.
It's never over. That's what Matt Nagy is telling you. Eddie Pinheiro's the guy for now, but it's never over. The bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves will open the season on Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit chicagowolves.com. The Bernstein and McKnight Show. He's McKnight. I'm Bernstein. A kind of a bombshell of a story dropped at Sports Illustrated this morning regarding the behind-the-scenes look at the Bears' kicking situation. And the person who wrote it is right here with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Caitlin Kaler of Sports Illustrated. Caitlin Kaler is on Twitter at just that. Caitlin Kaler. The story that came out, now that we've read through it, I'm first about the process of it. How did you get this access?
Yeah, I just kind of called everybody who had been in the kicking search, to be honest. The easy part about the story was that there were so many kickers that had been cut that, you know, there was a lot of people to talk to who didn't have an affiliation with the Bears anymore. And I think I got into this pretty openly in the story, but you know, a lot of these guys, they've been cut. So, you know, they're not, they have a reason why they might want to share some of the things that went down. And they're biased in their own ways because they didn't make it as the Bears kickers. So they had their own opinions. And a lot of them were very open and comfortable with sharing them. So I basically just, you know, used White Pages, used Nexus, used agents, and I kind of went after all the guys who had been there.
So, Caitlin, if you'd asked people here in town about 2 months ago or so, who is Jamie Kohler, you would have said, Jamie, pretty good kicking guru, guy who knows his stuff, like it's an interesting guy, why wouldn't you bring him in? And in the piece, it kind of feels like it's a little bit more than that. What sense do you have of the, I don't know, command that he's got on the kicking marketplace?
Yeah, so kicking is a really interesting world. It's so weird because people like Jamie Cole and there's several others like him who have their independent kicking businesses like Brandon Kornbluh and Gary Zauner. Those are probably like the three biggest names out there. And I think Chris Taylor is another one. But there's a bunch of these kicking coaches who basically have, you know, it's a cottage industry, essentially. Because college football coaches don't really know how to evaluate kickers, they are kind of forced to seek the opinion and seek the rankings that these coaches like Jamie Cole put out there. And Cole does the rankings for ESPN. But the trick is, like, you're not going to get ranked if you don't go to a camp or a clinic that Jamie Cole puts on with his business, which totally makes sense because how is he going to rank you if he hasn't seen you in person? But that makes this weird sort of industry where the kickers, unlike any other position in football where you can kind of make it without attending these expensive camps, kickers almost have to, you know, fork over money so they can get evaluated, so they can get in the rankings, so college football coaches can find out about them, at least at the Division I level. So there's several guys out there like him, and I do think he's a really talented coach. Everything I hear about him, you know, people really, really trust his eye, and, you know, he knows his stuff in a way that most football coaches don't. But how can you ask someone who has their own independent business where they've seen mm-hmm. these kickers who are paying them as clients, how can you ask that person to be unbiased? Like, I don't know if it's even humanly possible. Like, it's not just Jamie Cole. If they hired another guy, how could that guy be unbiased? They've seen these kickers in different environments, and that's obviously going to come into play.
You paint the picture of a conflict of interest, and it's clear. And to me, the comparisons to golf really resonate here. They bring in TrackMan to measure the foot swing the same way they measure club head speed. But golf swing coaches, like you say, similarly, cottage industries, gurus, guys who speak to certain guys in certain ways, they're not affiliated with teams. They're not brought in to say, all right, we're gonna outsource this position to you. I don't think this works in that way. I think you have incentivized Jamie Cole to build his business through the Chicago Bears and use the imprimatur of the Bears brand to sort of help himself out. There's no lose here unless he gets all puffy chested and says, these are my guys and they're going to succeed. And then they start banging things off the uprights or missing kicks. He does have, like kind of you pointed out earlier, some skin in the game. It's just a little weird when you had the one unnamed kicker say that he's got to be the alpha, and he might have been cooking the books with some of this objective statistical stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely weird, and there's certainly no, like you pointed out, there's no downside for him. I mean, it helps his business if he has more NFL kickers, and he's already got a bunch. So it is really interesting, and I mean, the Bears aren't the only team who has consulted him. He consults for several different NFL teams, but they are the only team that has officially hired him as a consultant. Like, I think with other teams, the relationship is more unofficial, and you know, he might call a few times and make some recommendations, but the Bears are the first who have actually officially brought him on to staff. It's really interesting.
Talking with Kaylin Kaler here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Her latest on Sports Illustrated is called Madness at 43 Yards, the Bears kicker competition through the eyes of those who lived it. And from those conversations with the kickers that were involved, Kaylin, the piece gave me the impression that these kickers were brought into camp and then treated like they hit the upright twice against the Eagles. You know, like they were the issue, and then not given like a full participation in camp. And I, you know, kickers are weird, and they're part of the team, but they're not part of the team. And you better shut up, but you also better make kicks. I'm curious as to whether or not you got the sense from talking to these guys that they felt invested in, because that's what a position coach is supposed to do, get the best out of that player. And it feels like maybe they just threw these guys at it and thought, okay, well, one of you on your own merit with no help from us is going to win this thing. Best of luck.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, all of them agreed that it really was not a instructional camp in any way. Like, the coaching was not the coaching on the field was not like, hey, you should do this and it'll be better. It was like, just do your thing and we're going to judge you on it. So it was very much not an instructional camp. And actually, you know, what you brought up with, you know, treating the kickers like they had been the ones that hit the uprights, that's sort of what interested me in this story to begin with, because I sort of love when sports and psychology sort of intersect. And I thought Nagy's strategy this entire offseason, where he kept repeating, remember the hurt. Mm-hmm. I was just really fascinated with that, because I knew where he was coming from, but I could also see where dwelling on that one mistake that is not really the reason why you lost that game and not the reason why your season ended, or not the only reason why. I thought that was a really interesting coaching tactic. So, you know, I think Jay Feely in my story sort of summed it up best, where, you know, he said that you wouldn't harp on that distance with any other position. You know, receivers drop passes and quarterbacks throw interceptions, but you're not going to sign a new quarterback and have him repeat the same yard pass that the last quarterback threw an interception on. So I don't think they did feel invested. Some of them, it was sort of split down the middle. Like, some felt like it was a totally fair search, and, you know, it was weird because there were so many guys, but other than that, nothing out of the ordinary. And others were very much like, yeah, I did not respond to that coaching tactic at all, and I feel supported. Like, Justin Yoon, I think, had a quote in there where he said it's just not efficient to dwell on the 43 yards, and he just felt like it was perpetuating like a negative environment for the kickers, which is it's tricky because you want to test them. You want to know how they're going to respond in a pressure situation, but you don't want to set them up for failure. And some of the kickers definitely felt that was what was happening.
Our guest on Bernstein and McKnight on Sports Radio 670, the Score, is Kalen Kaler of Sports Illustrated. The trope of the Achilles heel is just too easy, too facile, but oddly appropriate here for a team that is so well girded for contention this year, that they've got their ones are great, their twos are better than some teams' ones. It's as good as the Bears have looked in a long time, and they're still here trying to figure out this weird little position that could be could be determinative, as we know, to their success or failure of everything else. And what kept getting back to me in your piece was an uncharacteristic sense of desperation on the part of the Bears. And maybe it's not communicated that way internally, externally, but Ryan Pace can't get the kicker thing right and hasn't. And whether we can, I don't want to do revisionist history on Robbie Gould at the time and what they thought, what everybody thought was probably an okay thing. People weren't up in arms about that. But then Connor Barth and Cairo Santos and everybody who came in. It would be incredible to me if, for everything else being done so well, the desperation of trying to solve this has had them pouring in this needless expenditure of energy.
Yeah, it definitely comes off that way. And I think I was struck by that. And I'm also struck by just, the over analysis aspect of it. It's like they're doing too much in a way. And it's kind of ironic, like the one position that football coaches least understand is the one that can be such a deal breaker and so important for a team. But the Corey Zedvic failed trade that the Vikings ended up getting him from the Ravens, that was actually really interesting, because I realized then that, you know, the Ravens have this incredible system for evaluating, finding and developing kickers. I mean, they've got Justin Tucker, who's one of the greatest in the league, but they also have been able to churn out, I think, 3 or 4 starting NFL kickers, like in the last decade, that they have found, you know, as undrafted free agents or sometimes in the draft. But I talked to one of their former coaches there, and he basically made a point that it all comes down to he thinks they're best at finding kickers because they know what they're looking for. And, you know, he wouldn't comment on what the Bears were doing, but he said that's what makes them special. And that made me think about, you know, if the Bears knew exactly what they were looking for, why would you bring in 9 guys to start rookie minicamp? There wouldn't be, like, I don't think the Ravens would ever do that, because there wouldn't be 9 that fit their vision and what they want. So I think that's part of the issue with this position, too, is that a lot of teams just don't know exactly what they want from the position.
Kalen, thank you very much for joining us. I just wanted to tell you, the quality of your writing in this really stands out, in my opinion. I loved the details.
Thank you.
I loved the details. I loved the taut yellow rope. I loved the crumb-lined booth of an airport Chili's. And I know people are going to read this, but just the way it ends, back at that Chili's, you say 2 kickers, a holder, and a long snapper walked into a bar. If Chicago lines up for a pressure kick in January, we'll find out whether that's the setup for another bad joke.
And that one wrote itself.
Yeah, but you know what we call that in the journalism business?
A kicker.
A great kicker. Nicely done.
Thank you so much.
That is Kalen Kaler of Sports Illustrated, our guest on the Bernstein and McKnight show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.